Becoming the New Wineskin by Russ Painter is brought to you by Kingdom Training Institute. Our goal is life transformation through education and mentoring.
All right, so, you know, we're exploring the new wineskin because that's, I believe, something that the Lord is saying and is doing very, very powerfully, intentionally. And so we're just spending some time really trying to get a handle on, well, what does that mean? What does it look like? What is it that he had in mind from the very beginning for how it would look when we get together as the body of Christ, right? Most of what we've experienced, if we have been part of the typical organized church setting, it's sad to say, but most of that, I don't think was in his mind. Not at all. You have to look at what they actually did in the book of Acts at the birth of the church after the day of Pentecost to really start to understand what it looks like and what we should and what we are going to be getting back to, because that's what he's doing. All right. So today I want to share with you something that I received from a good friend of mine. As I, you know, go through this material, I have to just acknowledge those that have been such influences in my life. You know, I mean, obviously the Lord gives us revelation individually, but we also need one another, and I have needed and been very grateful for people who have gotten certain revelation that I never got. And one of those is my good friend, Danny Stain. He is just an amazing forerunner, major, major influence in the body of Christ as to the Lord reforming the church. And he's someone that I would highly recommend that you connect with. And the easiest way to do that is through his website, which is simply themountain.org, themountain.org. And because his ministry is called Mountain of Worship, taken out of the scriptures that talk about how the mountain of the Lord is going to be the mountain above all. And he's now based here in our area in Connecticut, and has been just doing an amazing work here to bring people together and give them encounters with the Lord in gatherings that are not like most church gatherings. Okay, so I'll leave it at that. But, you know, Danny was someone that God connected me with, I'm going to say back probably somewhere around 2005 or so. And he sent out a newsletter at some point, I don't really remember when this went out, that recounts his experience with the Lord concerning the key of David and what that means for us as we are looking to embrace the new wineskin. So I'm just going to read this because it's just so powerful. Everywhere I go, people are giving me keys. I've traveled to remote places and given a key. Big ones, little ones, old ones, new ones, fake ones, real ones, for over a year now. It has been testing the ability of my eyes to see what God sees. I knew on every occasion it had something to do with the key of David, but that is all I really knew. In 1990, I had a profound visitation with Jesus where the Word read the word to me. He picked up my Bible and read the following passage. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet and to know that I have loved you because you have kept my word or kept the word of my perseverance. I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have in order that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Of course, that's Revelation 3, 7 through 13. During this profound encounter, he didn't say that I would be given the key of David, but rather that this is who you are. I had no understanding that he was indicating that David himself was the key that we must become like. The focus was not on a key, but rather on a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 13:14. The Lord sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people. Acts 13:22 says that he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. He was not wanting us to simply gain a key, but rather a heart that is a key and an understanding of God that David had. For 17 years, I've struggled to find the preciousness of that pearl, knowing it was something to be treasured, but also demonstrated. I didn't know until a few weeks ago the place he was pressing me into. After all the nice messages I've heard and even those I've preached on the key of David, it was a few choice, simple words that opened my ears to the clarity of his voice and what he meant 17 years ago. He said I was to be the key of David. I had no understanding of that, and only now am beginning to glimpse into the vast domain and open doors that stand in front of the body of Christ as we become this amazing key. He spoke to me and said, Danny, the key of David is that which breaks protocol and acceptability to let God be God. It's the house of freedom. It was David that methodically and radically removed the hindrance of access to God. The key is breaking the protocol that precludes some from entering his presence. It is breaking the traditions of men in order to pave a highway for people to run to him. It's what Jesus did when he confronted the Pharisees and their nice sayings with the prophetic revelation of truth that caused their ears to ring. Jesus said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, you nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by is korban, that is given to God. You no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you've handed down, and you do many things such as that. That's Mark 7. Danny goes on, rather than trying to appease men rather than trying to appease traditions. The biblical notion is that there is a culture of heaven that is higher than the traditions of men. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. 1 Thessalonians 2. I often am pulled into situations where I feel, quote-unquote, obligated to do things that run against the grain of my understanding of Jesus and his ministry and vision for this world. Usually they are traditions and forms of men that have been handed down, sometimes for centuries, and so somehow the handing down has been equated with biblical holiness in some groups. But in reality, they are simply traditions and protocols set up to appease the spirit of a man, and not necessarily the Spirit of God. My desire is that the Spirit of God finds freedom and release in His church. I'm assuming that the church does in fact belong to God and not to the leaders in it. As a result, when I follow through forms, I sense almost a compromise in my own heart to appeal with my brothers. Is that what Paul was saying when he said, to the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak? I've become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. This formidable and powerful gospel that we carry is intended to break through barriers and culture and tradition and protocol and sound loudly and clearly, God grants access to you to come to Him. The life of David was marked by a heart bent on providing God a place to lay his head, a place where freedom of worship would attract God's presence, but way beyond simple worship, into the realm of everyday living. David repeatedly broke protocol. He and his warriors ate the bread in the temple, even though it was not intended to be eaten by warriors. He danced beyond the parameters of dignity, even though that kind of wild dancing was judged by others. He put the ark in a place without walls, even though that was breaking tradition, and some would say went beyond the parameters that the law allowed. He rushed into the temple and placed his hands on items intended only for priests and God. It was the heart of David that was the key of David, the key that unlocked a nation before him where they shouted praises and opened the doors for him wherever he went. It was not simply a formalistic ritual of following God. It was the creativity of a lover of God that pressed him to do those things, that would provide access for himself and others to have an audience with God. The door was open two ways. As a result of the access gained by David, God had access to David. The heart that desires that access and is willing to boldly go where no one has gone before is the place where God and people commune and where God is greatly pleased. It is this place that is the open door that no one can shut, because God himself has kept his foot in the doorway. We can never appease men and try to please God. Sometimes men are pleased when we please God, but many times they are not. Our heart must simply be to please God, regardless of the outcome, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of traditions and protocols and those things that produce a form of godliness, but they deny its power. Be very wary of form. It was in a place that was formless that God moved, right? That's talking about Genesis. It's also in a place of form that power is denied. The Spirit gives life, boldness and tenacity for His agenda. And fame is what we pursue with headlong, rash love and faith. This key of David, it's those whose hearts will pursue without holding back that will see the doors that no one can shut. Everywhere we go, it seems the deaf are hearing. And then he talks about some miracles that have happened. He ministered to this man and God touched him, fully restoring his hearing. A friend of his, surprise, Situli from Africa, told me that the most significant miracle for the end times is the deaf hearing. I asked him why, and he responded, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." My hope is that God will give us the ears to hear, that we will press through for a place for the Son of Man to lay his head, a place that the heart of David already captured, and a place where we corporately will provide him access to us as we gain access to him and open up access ways to his awesome presence. Whew. I mean, that's a word of the Lord. And, you know, this is something, again, that Danny got in 1990, and 17 years later, which would put it, what, 19? No, that would be like 2007. Okay, so that's probably when he sent this out, was around 2007. We had just launched our own ministry back in 06. And, you know, God was blessing me with connections like Danny to help me gain greater insights into what the Lord was doing and is wanting to do in even greater ways. And as I've been saying, we're in a moment of history in the church, in the body of Christ, where things that the Lord has been doing, maybe on the periphery, in small ways, in areas, you know, where people have kind of gotten wind of his desires and have begun to move out of formalistic ritual and that sort of gathering ways into simply, Lord, we're here to worship you, to encounter you. And so we're wanting to have that kind of encounter. And so to begin to understand the key of David, as Danny so beautifully brings out, that is the heart that David demonstrated, that he was so passionate about the presence of God, that when it came to bringing the ark, which in Israel was the symbol of God's presence, when it came to bringing that ark back to Jerusalem, right back to Israel, he was not going to be denied an opportunity to experience God's presence in a very different yet intentional way, by placing that ark in a tent with no interior walls. Okay, the moment you went into that tent, you entered the very presence of God, and God let him do that. I mean, I want you to think about this. Under the old covenant, the ark was supposed to be in the Holy of Holies of the temple which at that time was in Shiloh. And if anybody went into that section of the temple, went behind that curtain, they were struck dead. I mean, even in bringing the ark into Jerusalem, we know that poor guy who reached out to steady the cart touched and died immediately. Yet David, because his heart was so knit to the heart of God and what God wanted. See, that's the key. Folks, this is the time where we must give up all of what we thought we knew about what God wants. That was my heart when I first launched a gathering back in 2008 or 2009. I forget. I think it was 2000, 9 that we started our regional gathering, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want it to look like? Because it can't look like a typical church type gathering. It just can't. I don't want to do that anymore. And so that's where he said to me, he basically asked me a question that rocked me. He said, well, you know that in the typical church environment, there's a format. And he asked me, what's the focal point of most church gatherings? And I said, well, that's easy. Everything in a normal church service builds toward the sermon. The sermon is the focus. It's the high point of the service. Everything kind of revolves around that, and whatever happens, you know, as a result of the sermon, altar call, who knows, right? So I said, yeah, the main event of the normal church service is the sermon. His response to me, it rocked me. He said, what if I want to be the main event of the gathering? I don't know if you feel that. I feel it even now, the weight of that question. Because, you know, you realize, of course, when God asks a question, he's not looking for information. He's wanting you to process the implications of what he's asking. And so for me, the implication and the revelation of that question was, okay, we can't meet like we used to. How do I make it so that he becomes the main event? Well, for us, what we did was we flipped everything on its head. We would come together. We would have a time of fellowship and sharing. We would share briefly from the Word of God in that segment. And then we would transition into worship. And worship and engaging and encountering his presence, that became our focal point for the rest of the gathering. And we would worship. We would worship for as long as he told us to worship. We people in the midst of that would receive revelations and visions, and they would share that. And we would engage in whatever the Lord was saying that he wanted us to do. It's powerful. And I am fully committed to getting back to those kinds of gatherings whenever the Lord allows us to do that. We haven't been able to do it now for a few years, mostly because of facility space to do it in. But this, for me, was the Lord allowing us to become the key of David. We became those who broke the protocol and allowed for the Lord to take his rightful place in our gatherings so that he called the shots, right? I looked at it from the standpoint of, there are two basic directions in every gathering. You've got the horizontal, which is where we get to relate to one another and share with one another and do that kind of teaching and ministry. And then there's, of course, the vertical. That's where we connect with him and we allow him to basically have his way, say what he wants, do what he wants. And that, for me, will always be the priority. Always, always. So I hope this is something that has opened your eyes, as it did for me those many years ago, to begin to understand what it is that we've been called to actually be the key of David, that frees us and the Lord to do what he desires whenever we gather together.
For more information about Kingdom Training Institute, visit our website, www.kingdomti.com.